We're going to get our worship service underway, and so I want to just give you a warm welcome and welcome you to worship at ASA 2022. Greetings to those who are joining us over the live stream. This is always a highlight at ASA meetings. There's nothing like a room full of scientists worshiping the Lord in song. And wasn't last night a wonderful evening together? We've had Yes, thank you. We've had a few people comment that they felt the Holy Spirit's presence in a powerful way this weekend, and I'm just continually amazed at how God moves in ways that we as humans cannot think or imagine, and we look forward to, with great expectation, and how he's going to continue to make his presence known over the course of the remainder of the weekend and in the life of the ASA. I have a couple of announcements to make before we get underway here. First of all, I want to provide an update on Walter Bradley. Ann Bradley is with us here in the worship service. Ann, where are you? Can you raise your hand? There she is. Mm-hmm. So glad that you're here, Ann. The update on Walter is the surgery went well yesterday and they were able to remove the gallstones and he's on his way to recovery. Ann tells me that he's a little bored in his hospital room.
I bet he is.
Because he's without his cell phone and he hasn't had any visitors. So I said to Ann this morning, as soon as he gets his cell phone, maybe we can inundate him with calls and texts so we can remove the boredom from him. But we're just delighted that he's on his way to recovery. Ann is hoping to hear from the doctors today to determine when he will be released, and hopefully they will be on their way back home to Austin in the next day or so. So thank you for your prayers, and continue to pray for Ann and Walter in the coming days as they make their way back home. It's customary at the ASA worship services to take an offering for a organization local to the area. And this year we have chosen the San Diego Rescue Mission as our charity of choice. And in a few minutes, you will hear from Carolyn Miller, who serves on the Rescue Mission's development team, and she's a Point Loma alum. So she will come and share a few minutes about the organization. That is it for the announcements. So now I invite you to take a moment to prepare your heart to worship the God who watches over our comings and goings with gentleness, love, and with wisdom. Would you stand with me if you're able and join me in the call to worship? It's taken from Psalm 34, 1 to 3. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glorify the Lord and let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. We are blessed to have George Williamson and the Point Loma Nazarene worship team with us over the weekend. So let's join in praising the Lord in song.
Thanks, Vicki. Grateful to be together in worship, and as Vicki read there from scripture, to exalt God's name in song together. I want to take a moment and just thank our students. These students have been out traveling for the university for about 8 weeks, and they finished their last camp on Friday, and I'm grateful that they were willing to extend a couple of days so that I can have some instruments. So grateful for you. In Colossians chapter 1, it's this wonderful image of who Jesus is. It says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, that he's the firstborn over all creation, and that by him all things have been created, everything. Things visible, invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities, things in earth and in heaven, everything has been made by Christ, and everything has been made for Christ. And we get to sing to the risen Lord today, the maker of all things. Would you lift your voice with me as we sing? Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Can we lift our voice in awe and wonder and sing? Then sings my soul. A few verses later, Colossians 1 continues this way. I'd love us to read it together. Would you proclaim the truth of God's word today? For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Lord, we thank you for coming and dwelling among us, for becoming flesh, the one who made it all, humbling himself. So we remember as we sing the extent of your love. We sing. Because of your invitation by grace to us, we worship you with all that's within us as we sing. Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet, for he has done great things. You see what our Savior has done. Done great things, none like you. He has done great things. The reconciler, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave, you freed every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We answer your freedom, obey and obey. above it all. Hallelujah, God unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. I'll sing that together. Would you remain standing? Micah, would you come and read from God's word in Colossians chapter 3 from us? Open your hearts to the reading of scripture today, what it is that God wants to speak to us.
This is a reading from Colossians 3, verses 1 through 17. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Go ahead and be seated.
What an amazing God. Walter, I could almost turn Pentecostal this morning in this worship service. Thank you so much for leading his team. You can see, sense the presence of God with us. I've gotten to know Walter over the last 3 years, I believe it is, and come to love this brother in the Lord. For God has prepared him. If you read his bio in our program, you'll see all of that careful preparation. Uniquely gifted and called. He's disciplined himself with study, both in the sciences and in theology and at the interface of those. He's worked in the field with Dozer, with the AAAS program on the science, religion, and ethics. He's come to us and been introduced to us and in our fellowship, and we've come to appreciate his preparation, but his heart. He's gifted, he's called, and he's dedicated to bringing out the best in this faith and science conversation, and we really deeply appreciate that. But he's also a hospice pastor. He's helping people at the transition point of life. And he helps people at the transition point of faith and science, and now he's helping them at the point of transition from this life to the next, that door that we all pass through. Walter, we just appreciate you so much. We're looking forward to what God has laid on your heart for us for this day. May God bless you as you come and speak to us this morning.
As I sat with the elderly woman in her home,
my hand on her shoulder, her tremors stopped, and she grew peaceful. And in my mind's eye, she was no longer a thin, bent, elderly woman hunched over in her chair. In my mind's eye, I imagined her as a little girl. And I thought of how her mother must have put her hand on her shoulder when she was a little girl to let her know that she was safe, that she was loved. And I wondered when the last time she had had human touch. And I sensed God's presence in that moment. I think we may have prayed then as well, but I don't clearly recall. It was a moment in my work as a hospice chaplain that I will never forget. As we are gathering together at ASA 2022, we are asking the question, what is a human? Well, one element of being a human is to know that one day we will die. Indeed, I believe that this knowledge is central to human flourishing. After all, much of the great literature and imaginative work that our world has given us through the centuries has been an exploration of the theme of the meaning of death and, conversely, the meaning of what it is to truly live. For the presence of death forces the question, is life at its fundamental root deeply meaningful or wholly absurd? And whichever it is, begging the question, what shall we do with it? Although this question is central to human identity, our culture does not like to talk about the topic of death. And perhaps that's why stories about vampires and zombies and things like that are so popular in our culture. Perhaps they provide an oblique outlet for our sublimated cultural need to face our mortality and make sense of it when we are phobic of facing it directly. And so, questions for you today. How many people here have prepared their will? Wonderful. How many people have made funeral preparations? How many people really don't want to think about that right now and would much rather just go watch a show about zombies or vampires? Well, today's scripture frames our Christian lives in the context of death. Since then, you have been raised with Christ, buried in baptism, raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Of course, the first couple verses of the third chapter of Colossians. And who was it that this letter was being addressed to? Well, the church in Colossae, naturally, and Laodicea, which was nearby, a church in Asia Minor, inland. And it was a church that had an issue, and that issue had already been hashed out in chapters 1 and 2 of the book. And the issue was syncretism, a little like taking two different things and throwing it in a blender and pressing liquefy. And something was getting mixed up with the Christian message in this church. And Wikipedia, that fount of all knowledge, tells me that that something was that the town was known for an angel cult that venerated the archangel Michael, who was said to have opened a healing spring in the nearby rock. And if we think about the idea of syncretism, things getting mixed up with Christianity, we realize that this letter is particularly relevant to us today in our world. After all, I'm sure that we all know somebody, now probably not the person beside us, God willing, but somebody who has thrown something in the blender of life along with their Christianity and hit puree. Maybe it's strange Aunt Mary, who knows? But we all know somebody. And the church in Colossae was a church much like our own church. There were lots of things getting mixed up with that message of Christianity. And yet the letter was clear. It was time to put all unchristian things away as hindrances to our experience of ultimate and actual reality. Verses 1 through 8 address the individual believer. And they address the individual believer as the entire message of the Bible does, as people who are active agents in this world. Have you ever heard the phrase, "The devil made me do it"? Or, "That's just the way that I was raised"? Or, "I'm just a victim of my circumstances"? Well, this letter doesn't give any room for that idea, for a deterministic outcome for the Christian. According to Colossians, you and I are agents. But it's up to you and me to choose what kind of agency we have. Are we agents merely of the material universe, or are we agents of the transcendent yet immanent God? In other words, are we agents of the world, or are we God's agents in the world? The letter makes it clear what agents of the world, their behaviors that they exhibit, immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. Agents of the world manifest all of these things. And yet agents who are in the world, put to death those things that belong to the earthly nature. Even though they used to walk in those ways, they rid themselves of all such things. And again, as agents, we ask, what is the source of our agency in this world? The letter suggests that it is our having died and been raised to new life in Jesus Christ. It is our radical identity in Jesus Christ and his new life and his love working in us that gives us the agency to put aside these things. And by saying that, I'm not saying that there is no agency outside of Christianity, but that message is implicit in this letter, that there is a divine agency that comes to us from God himself. Do we seek to overcome the world in ourselves with the ways, means, and weapons of the world, or do we seek to overcome the world in ourselves with the divine agency imputed to us as followers of Christ? Some of you may know the name Saint Telemachus, and he's a wonderful example of what it is to use our agency in Christ to transform not only ourselves but those around us. And the historian, I can't pronounce it, but that church historian tells us that in 391, Telemachus was walking by a gladiatorial match and felt compelled to go into the gladiatorial match. Eventually, he was wounded and killed. He was stoned with stones. And yet, his martyrdom so impressed the Christian emperor Honorius, I've got that written badly, I apologize. Those who are Roman historians, my apologies. But the upshot was that he so impressed the emperor of Rome that the gladiatorial matches from that period forward were officially canceled. As we die to ourselves and live unto Christ, it changes the world around us. And verses 9 through 17, talk about those changes that happen in the community around us. It gives us, through the metaphor of death, what it looks like for a people who have died to themselves to live toward God and toward one another. It would be a community that tells the truth, a community that lives holy and loving lives. A community that finds unity in Christ and harbors no room for prejudice. A community of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. A community that forgives and neither nurses nor harbors unforgiveness. A community brought together in love. A community of people who love peace. A community united in the peace, person, and message of Christ. A community that whatever it does so whether in word or deed, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the kind of community that the ASA, as a gathering of Christian believers, Christians in the sciences, is called to be. This is the measure that we are called to evaluate ourselves against. We come together to ask the great questions, to seek understanding, and to revel in the wonder and the mystery of this world and the next. And we do so in the bond of love and the light of Christ. We know that Christians in the sciences are often doubly ostracized, suspect in church, suspect professionally, and to those who find themselves in that place, the ASA is a wonderful, rich gift, a safe space to meet with people who genuinely love and care about you and about whom you care as well. But we must be careful that we don't see our fellowship together here as the end of what we do at the ASA. For the ASA is equally a gift to others, a gift to a church that is increasingly out of touch with the contemporary world and its epistemic underpinnings, a gift to the scientific community who we as Christians believe, whether they know it or not, that they need the answers that Christians in science bring to the mysteries and questions of life and death. So we are agents called to radical relationship. And that's great, but it's also potentially exhausting, dangerous, frightening. And we must ask, how can we possibly accomplish God's task for us individually and collectively as the ASA? And I would suggest that we do so by knowing and acting on who God is. The Trinitarian nature of God tells us something fundamental about the nature of the universe. We've all been transfixed by the work of the Hubble Space Telescope or even the new Webb Space Telescope, and using them we gaze farther and farther back in time, and they tell us something about the history of the universe and even sound out answers about its early stages, its composition. But Christianity suggests something even more primordial. It offers a picture of what came even before the Big Bang and what will come after you and I die, and even after the last of the stars and the last of the galaxies go dark. But before we talk about that, I'd like to share with you about one of the funniest and cleverest television shows that I've ever watched. How many of you have seen a show called The Good Place? Anybody? I'm going to ruin the last couple episodes of the last season for you. Sorry, it's been out a while, you know. So, The Good Place is a philosophical exploration of what it means to be human, of what it means to live a good life or a bad life and have relationships and etc. And it's not a Christian show, but it brings very powerful historic philosophical conundrums to the screen, and we laugh at it, and it's funny and moving. It's a wonderful show. Go watch it. Just understand I'm going to ruin the last couple episodes. Because in the last couple episodes, the main characters finally get to heaven, or whatever concept of heaven the show presents itself. And it is a place where they are happy. They have good relationships. It's a wonderful place. It's literally the good place. And after a couple centuries or a couple millennium, as our main characters experience happiness and joy, perpetual and eternal, they look at each other in total boredom and they say, "We just want it all to end." And there's a philosophical movement that suggests that heaven's not all it's cracked up to be, but it ignores the central message of who God is. Heaven is not about people existing in bliss forever. It's about people whose heart is restless and hungry to know their Maker and exist with their Maker, being united in the very presence of God. And that is what we know of God. God himself, his Trinitarian nature, suggests that the ontological ground of all reality is possessed of an inherently relational nature. At its root, our universe is relational, and we are called to be in relationship. We are called to love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, and we are called to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we call that the Great Commandments. And sure, they're commandments, but really, they're invitations for us to walk out the central ontological reality of all that is. The answer to life, the universe, and everything is not actually 42. It is being in relationship with God, with others, and rightly with ourselves. And to achieve the fullness of God's invitation to us involves our receiving the deposit of Christ in our lives. Death points us towards the ultimate questions, and Christ, who has passed from death to life, becomes the model for you and me as we walk in the shadowlands. Again, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We have not only been invited to explore and glory in the wonder and majesty of this world, this universe, and this life. We have been invited to participate in the very life of God together. To receive the deposit of that life and as ambassadors, as agents of that life, to carry it forward to others. Identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and participating in the life eternal offered by Christ. And that's not a one pie in the sky, stroke a harp on a cloud day, but it's here. Now, today, it's a kingdom that is breaking into this world through you and me. And we are invited to be the vanguard of heaven on earth, standing between the worlds and saying, "My friends, come up higher, further in, and further up." C.S. Lewis famously speaks of this life and this world as the shadowlands against which the undying realms impinge. But though we live in the shadowlands, and though we as scientists and professionals study the shadowlands and their intricacies from the quantum to the universal scale, as Christians, we must remember that we do so as God's agents in the world, with an agency and a mandate imputed from realms of glory beyond the deeps of time, the heights of the heavens, and the beauties of all we know, see, and can discover. We do so in relationship with God, with others, and even rightly with ourselves, through the power of the Holy Spirit. After all, we are the ASA. After all, we are His church. Amen? I'm going to hand it over for a little bit.
Good morning. My name is Caroline Miller. So I'm here to just tell you guys a little bit about the San Diego Rescue Mission. And first, I just wanted to say thank you on behalf of the San Diego Rescue Mission for inviting me here today and for also choosing to support us. So I'm actually a recent graduate of Point Loma. I graduated a few months ago in May. But it's great to be back here today and be able to talk about the rescue mission. So just a short description, we are a faith-based nonprofit that serves the homeless of San Diego. And our mission is to lovingly address the needs of men, women, and children experiencing homelessness by sharing the good news of salvation and providing a holistic approach to rehabilitation and recovery. So before working at the San Diego Rescue Mission, I used to volunteer with a group of my college friends every few months, and we would lead a chapel there. And every time I went, I was left feeling just so refreshed. And I think I saw something that was moving there that was just so different. And specifically, I saw hope at the rescue mission. And I think that there's just, with homelessness, I think that it can seem like kind of a hopeless situation. But I think the rescue mission really brings hope to that. And I saw transformed lives, and a lot of the residents there, they just seemed so excited about their new life and specifically just their life in Christ. And I think one awesome thing too, now that I'm working there, is a few of the staff are actually alumni of our program. So they were on the streets, they went through our program, and now they're working there, and they're just so fired up about it. And I think just one amazing thing about it, the rescue mission, I think, sets us apart, is that the rescue mission looks to the whole person. They don't just try to help one part of the person. They look to not only their physical needs, their emotional needs, their mental needs, but also their spiritual needs. And I think that's one of the, just the ways that sets the rescue mission apart, is because they really look to share the gospel to each student and to change their lives, not only in their earthly sense, but in their eternal sense. And so just a couple of the programs that we have. So we have a one-year residential program that's for men, women, and children. And then we also have a 30-day emergency shelter for women and children. And if you'd like to learn more about our programs, you can always check out our website, sdrescue.org. And as the offering trays are passed, checks can be made to ASA, and then they will forward the donations to us. And you can also give online or also using Venmo. Thank you.
To you.
Lynn, will you come and pray for us this morning?
A time of thanksgiving, Lord. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we come before you with special thanksgivings because of this weekend that we have had. I would ask you all to think in pictures with me. First of all, of things that come to your heart, to your mind's eye about this weekend. Close your eyes and think of things you have seen that cause your heart to open. The beautiful ocean views, the unusual, well, to me, plants and birds, the wonderful friends we have seen again, the wonderful talks we have heard. And hopefully you at home can close your eyes and think about what you've learned too, watching all of this unfold on your computer screens. So let's just take, less than a minute to be quiet together and think about, picture in our minds things from the last few days that we're grateful for. Now let's think about the things beyond this weekend, beyond this geography of our own friends, our family that we're grateful for, some successful intervention by the doctors on Walter. We have so much to be grateful for. Let's take a few more quiet moments to think beyond this weekend about our gratitude. Now let's all close together with the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. And lest we stumble all over it, let's just all use the trespass version. How about that? Our Father, who art in heaven,
causes to shine so
As we close today, we just want you to meditate on the words from St. Francis' prayer, as Walter plays for us. We fix our eyes on you, Jesus.
O God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our only Savior, the Prince of Peace, give us grace to take to heart the dangers that our many divisions foster. Deliver your church from all enmity and prejudice and everything that hinders us from godly union. As there is one body and one spirit, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, so make us to be of one heart and of one mind, united in one holy bond of truth and peace, of faith and love, that with one voice we may give you praise. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, in everlasting glory. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace with the love and the life of Christ.
wonderful rest of the day. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and heal the world.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Joy shall fill my
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I'm so...
Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art.